Okay, today's daf is Bechoros daf Mem Dalad, and we continue with the seventh parak in Bechoros, all about the movement of human beings regarding Kohanim doing the avoda. And as we mentioned, we got two and a half more blot of this topic of this parak. And as we mentioned yesterday, when we started off the parak, there are three levels of movement, if we remember. The Rambam quoted, and the Gemara quoted, actually, on the top of Amud Beis. Number one are the movement that the Adam, the Behema, share. Those are movement that are the highest level movement. It is an Issa D'Oraisa with Malkus. And one is Mechalel the Avoda, if Kohen does the Avoda with those movement. Number one. Number two is the second level down. It's also D'Oraisa, but it's based on the Pasuk of on the bottom, quote on the bottom of Amud Aleph, called Isha Sherbo Mum Mizera Aharon, that one has to be Dumya Dezera Lezera Shel Aharon. And if not, so then it is an Isarasei. The Rambam says that you get Malkus for that too. Even the Rashi seem to say that you don't, but that is not Machal of the Avoda. That is level two down. And that is most of the topic of our Perek is this category two type of Mum. And category three is Marasayan. Category 3 is Marasayan, and that is just Issa D'Rabbanan, that it doesn't look nice for a servant of God doing the Avoda in this regard. Okay, so yesterday we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, on Mem Gemal Abayz, different pshatim of what does Gibein mean in the Torah. We mentioned that it does not seem to be a Machlokas Lamaisa. They all agree Lamaisa, that all of these are in Mumin, but the question is, what does Gibein mean? The first opinion says, if anybody is missing normal eyebrows. If he doesn't have any eyebrows, or he only has one, meaning it goes through in the middle of the top of the face, that is Gibein that the Torah refers to. Rabbi Dosa says it means if he has drooping eyebrows, Gvinin Shochvin. Drooping eyebrows, that is the Gibein in the Torah. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikinus Omer, Rabbi Chanina says that, no, nothing to do with eyebrows. Gibein in the Torah means if somebody has a humpback, he has two backs and two spines. That is the Gibein in the Torah. So if you're just a couple of Ha'aris from Maseches Brachos today, I think that's going to be the most popular source we're going to quote. Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf has, if you remember, Gemara's related to certain Amoraim that stayed outside of the mikvah, right, so that the women could look at them and be inspired to have Banim Sadikim. So Rav Gidel, the Gemara talks about, and the Gemara asks on Rav Gidel, wasn't he worried about the Yetzer Sahara? So these Rav Gidel said, no, Dami and Babi Kikaka Chivri, they're like white geese. Meaning he was on such a level which we can't even fathom. The other Amoram couldn't even fathom it. Like the Gemara says in Ksubis by Kate Samaraktiv, like some of the Amoram used to carry the kalas during the dancing at the weddings. See the way he says, no, it doesn't apply to me. Rabbi Yochanan, the next story. Rabbi Yochanan used to sit at the Shari Tefila, and when the Benot Yisrael used to go up, Mistachlan, they used to see him, and he was a very handsome person. V'nevi lehu zara de Shapir Kavasi. He was handsome physically, he was handsome spiritually, and therefore they used to look at him. Ask the Gemara, aren't you worried from Ayin Hara? So the Gemara answers, no. Rabbi Yochanan answered, I'm from Yosef Atzadik. And right, there's no, just like fish, there's no ayin hara when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik. So the Bach asks, why did the Gemara only mention one by each Ramora? Why, by Rav Gidel, why did they ask about ayin hara? And why, by Rav Yochanan, were they not worried about Yetzer Hara? So he deals with each of those. So let's just deal with the second one. Rav Yochanan, why wasn't he worried about Yetzer Hara? Because the Gemara says, in Tainus Daf Tes, he had very long eyelashes. They were drooping over his eyes. And whatever he used to speak, he used to tell his Talmud, right, lift up my eyes so I could see. So you see, very long, that's why he couldn't see anything. That's why the word didn't ask about Yetzer Hara. Because he had these drooping eyelashes. So similar to here, Gvina of Shochvin, that's the Bach, right? You have the drooping eyebrows here. That is called a Mum. Period. Okay, says the Gemara, the Gibein de'en lo mashma, Gibein means that you don't have. That's what the positive move of Gibe means, according to the Tanakhama. You don't have eyelashes? Veraminu. But didn't we learn in a Braisa? Gibein, sheyesh lo gvinin harbe. Gibein means you have a lot. Ein lo gvinin, oh, ein lo el gibein echaminayin. How do I know to include those other psulim? Tavalomar, oh, Gibein. Oh includes it. So how can you say that's what Gibein means? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, that's what the Mishnah means. Amarava, zeo medrash, oh, Gibein. O gibein, the O is including the cases where you're missing. Gibein, you have extra or large, and O includes even more. Rabbi Dosa Omer v'chulu. Rabbi Dosa had the last pshat. No, sorry, he had the second pshat, but go on the v'chulu. Rabbi Chanina ben Atigadis said that if you have two backs, two spines, and that is a mum. But what's mashma? That you can live with that. It's just that you can't do the avodah. It's a mum. Lamemer the chaye. Is this telling me that type of person can live? You have two spines and two backs? Vaha itmar. It says in Nida. Hamapel is birya. Sheyesh lashne gabir ushte shidraos. All the halachas there in Masechas Nida about a woman who has a miscarriage and what comes out of her is formed in a certain way. It looks like something. So when can we say that it was nothing? It's just a clot of a block of blood. And there is no tumas leida, and there's no tumas related to having a baby. Or when can we say that it is? So the Gemara goes through it. If it looks like this, if it looks like that. So there it says that if the woman is mapella, somebody that has two backs or two spines, you can assume that it was not alive. V'yama rav beisha ein avlad, by a woman it's not avlad because a baby cannot live like that. Bebehema aser bachila, and by behema it's aser bachila. What is behema? It means by bank pakua. If you checked an animal and you'd find this, so then inside will be aser bachila. Rashi says kinevela denefelhu ukemes dami velo mahanya le shchita. Right, it's not going to work. Behemoth is not. It's not going to be. It's not going to be mutter. I'm sorry. Let's say it is born. Right, the bet pekuah is going to come up elsewhere. Let's say it is born. This is if it comes out. It's not called an animal. It's not called an animal. It's just an afel. It is a nevela. So you see, it's not going to live. So how can our Mishnah say that? Oh, it's just about movement. You can't do the avoda. You see, it's not going to live. So how can that be the case, the psul that the Torah is talking about? Answer, Kfar Rama Nihale Rav Simi Barchia L'Rav, V'yamar, this question was already asked by Rav Simi to Rav, and Rav answered him, Simiat, you were Simi, you're great, you should figure out the answer by yourself. Simiat, Ella, B'sheshid Raso Akuma. Now what was the Torah talking about? Talking about when we say it's really two backs and two spines, that's not going to live. But the Torah is talking about a case that it looks like that. It looks like somebody has two backs and two spines. That is a mum, right? Mechzi kegibein v'shidros harbe. That's the mum that is being spoken about. But the case that if it's really like that, so then the person is not going to live. Good. Says the Mishnah. Hacharim pasul. Charim is listed. That's pasul. Ezeu charim. Hakocho shteyan of ka'acha. Somebody who can color their two eyes as one. Meaning their nose is sunken in the bridge of their nose. They can just color, let's use a makeup type of thing, and go straight. That is a psul. The nose is so sunken in. Shteyan of lamala, shteyan of lamata. If somebody's eyes are two above and two below, Einu achas lamala, einu achas lamata. One above, one below. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean the physical place where the eye is, or where they're looking? So that the Gemara is going to talk about. What does that mean? So we'll see. Roa es acheder ves aliyah ke'echad. This for sure means the latter. What they see. If somebody's two eyes don't work in consonance with each other, right? One is looking up and one is looking down, right? We take for granted. Just like every little thing in our natural, you know, we wake up in the morning, pokeach ivrim, right? But not only that person can see, but their eyes work together. You know, if somebody's, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that way, that both eyes always work with each other. They look left, they both look left. They both look right. Chmono litzlan, you know, it could be somebody has a mum, somebody's looking one way and the other way. So that's a mum. If somebody, one of their eyes sees the downstairs and one of them sees the upstairs, they look at two things, two places. Sachei shemesh. What is sachei shemesh? That they cannot look at the sun. Can't look at the sun. They're very weak eyes. Suffer the word schach, covered up. Right? Sachei shemesh, that is that type of psul. Sachei shemesh, they can't look at the sun. Not the normal way. Everybody can't look at the sun directly. But it means even more so. Even more so, they can't be out in the sun. V'hazagdan, or zogdam, means that they always have tears coming out of the eyes, as we will see. V'atzira, the Gemara will talk about what that is. V'shenashra risa'enav, their eyelashes fall out, possibly b'bnei maris ha'ayin. That's maris ha'ayin, as we saw yesterday. This and the teeth are both maris ha'ayin. Those are the two mentioned in the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan, Charum, Shechotmo shakua. Char means that their nose is totally sucking in. Chotmo solade. Or they have a very, very small nose. Chotmo bolem. Their nostrils are closed. Tola eretz al belima. Belima means to be closed in. Chotmo notef. Or their nose is dripping. What does dripping mean? Rashi says it means it gets lower than the lips. It's hanging so low, it gets lower than the lips. Minayin, tamalomar, o charum. Those are all included by o. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein charum ela hakochel she'en of ka'achas. No, charum only includes the first one, right? Similar to chod b'shakua, right? If you could color both at once. Amru lo, they said, hiflagta. Right, no, you're exaggerating. Afa b'shi nekochel she'en of ka'achas. Even though you don't, it's not exactly, it's not so flat. They could color them both, even if it's a little shakua. That's also a psal. Doesn't have to actually be very, very flat. Okay. Shtein of lamala, shein of lamata. So two above, two below. So ma shtein of lamala, shein of lamata. What exactly does that mean? Two above, two below. Ile ma shtein of lamala, the chazi lamala. It doesn't mean that they both look up. I mean, a person's eyes are in the exact place that it's supposed to be, but they're just they're situated looking up. Or shade of lamata, dechazi lamata, they look below. Eino achaz lamala, veino achaz lamata, dechazoi eino achaz lamata, veino achaz lamala. Is that what it means? That they're in the exact correct spot, but they just look in the unusual places? So haina rosa chadaves aliyaka achaz. That wouldn't work, because the next line of the Mishnah is referring to that. Right? Where one eye looks at the cheder, one looks at the aliyah, that would be the same thing as achaz lamala, achaz lamata. So the first part of the Mishnah cannot mean that, Ella. The first couple of lines of this psul must mean situated physically. Ella shte'enav lamala dekaiman lamala. His two eyes are physically too high on his face. She'enav lamata dekaiman lamata. Eino achaz lamala ve'eino achaz lamata dekaimi. Eino achaz lamala ve'eino achaz lamata. Those cases about where it's physically deformed. The kaimi, and then the Mishnah adds the last line, the kaimi, kisidranami, also, if they are in the correct spot, where they look in an unusual way. One looks up, one looks below. So again, the Mishnah therefore includes where physically they were in the wrong spot, or even physically they're in the right spot. So I guess that's the chiddush. Right, that if you look at them and you're not looking at them, let's say their eyes are closed, right, you can't see any deformity. But still, the usage of the eyes, right, when they look, they're looking in a strange way. One looks up, one looks down. That's also a mum. Minonimili, where do you? What's the source of all of these? Tatana Rabbanan be'eino, right? As that word be'eino by the tavalul and the doke, all of them are the psulim in the eye. Kol ma shebe'eino, that includes anything in the eye. Mikan amrusa, from here we learn, she'en av lamata, she'en av lamala, eno achaz lamala, eno achaz lamata, v'roz ached v'saliya ka'achas. All of these, the physically in the wrong space, or if they look one above and one below, o shemedaber im chaveiro, v'acher omer li roe. Or a person's talking to somebody, and then another person says, oh, he's looking at me. If there's something wrong with the eye, that is a mum. Even if they can function in life. But it's still a level of mum for psule kohanim. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Again, the message that we can take out of this, Hashem, is the godless of the eyes. The godless of the normal workings of the eye that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Tana Rabbanan, Iver. It says Iver in the Torah, a blind kohen. Bein sumam bishteinav, bein sumam b'achas b'einav. Even if one is blind only in one eye, that's still a balmum, and he cannot do the avoda. Chavarvar, where we had this in the previous parak, by animals. What if somebody has chavarvar, he has spots on the eye, or he has water constantly coming out? Tamalomar, ish iver. So ish includes those psulim. Amarava, lamali tekaz rachmana, ish iver, dak tvalu beino. What if you have to have all of these eye ailments? Wouldn't you be able to learn the least serious one, and then the most serious ones will be learned out from a kal vachomer. So the word says, no, you need each one. Srichi. Dikas rechmana iver. Mishum de les nehu klal. If it just said iver, I would have thought only because that person is totally blind. Aval chavar varvamay makvuim. But if you have the spots or the drippy eyes, the watery, de is nehu bay, they can't see, but they still have eyes. So you might think that's not a mum. Lo, right? We know that you'll be able to do things if they're directed. So you might think it's not a mum. Kazavachmana ish. That's why it says ish, to teach me that even these other types of psulim are included. Vi kazavachmana ish. And if it only said ish, bishum dol kachazi, lo kachazi klau. Because still, those you can't see with. Their eyes are there. The eyes are there. It's not like somebody who's blind, who is considered, I guess it's the first two you can't see, but physically blind, the eye is as kimishaino, if it's totally useless. In the case of the spots, the eye is there, let's say there's something external that's causing problems. If you have the spots or you have the water, that's blocking the vision. But in both those cases, you might not learn the following. If it only says Bishop de Lochazi Leklau, Aval Mach Sur Yasa, what if your eye vision is just impaired? It's less. It's chaser, low. You might not have included that in the psul. Because we want a dock. That's what dock, that those spots in the eye, like we spoke about in the last parak, that's what that's included in there. Vikaz rachwada dock, mishum de machasran. And what about dock? That's only because the vision is impaired. Aval, mival valisa. But what if the eye, it just looks, all mixed up? You have things going in the black and the white all together, but the vision is not impaired. But it just looks strange. Lo, you might not have known that's a psul. Kaz rachwada tivalul. That's why it says tivalul. If it only had tivalul, mishum de mivalbalon. That's only because it was mixed up inside the eye. Avo mishum mishnayusa lo. But if there was just physical differences between them, like one above or below, lo, I wouldn't have known that. Kasarachmana be'eino. That's why you have all of them learned out from all of these words. And the Gemara summarizes now. Amar Rava Hilkach kol. Right, you think this is somewhat confusing to know exactly what the psulim are, right? That's why by animals and by people. Rav went, as we've said a number of times, 18 months to a farm to learn all the psulim of, but by animals. It might be that it was more common by animals. That's why even to study for the Mumei Adam, he went there to learn about these psulim. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Hilkach, kol machmas ki yusa, any type of psul that has to do with actual blindness, asyame ish. You learn that from the word ish. Machsur yasa, any problem that comes out from the, you have certain vision, but it's less, it's impaired, midak. You learn that from the word dak. Mivabalisa, where it's mixed up, mi tivalul. You learn that from tivalul. Mishnu yusa, mi be'eno. You learn that from the word be'eno. Sorry, all of these, lachora, right, they learned that from the psukim, so it's Isser Malkus, right? It's not just Mizera Shel Aaron. You have to know, some of them are not clear. Some of them are discussions in the Rishonim. But any of them that are, if they learned that from psukim, lachora, they're in category one. The Gemara did not say, Ein On Shemin Adin. Okay, good. So that may have, so you see, it's before, it's a drasha. So it's a drasha. Well, also, it means Ein Mizera Shel Aaron, right? So though that also is not learned from a kalvachomer. That's just not Dumya de Zera Shel Aaron. But you're right, it sounds like the fact that they learned that from Sukkim, that they were in category one. Sachei Shemesh. But I'm not sure. Some of them could be in category two, that, you know, just a question of how to understand these drashas. I'm not sure. Sachei Shemesh. They have problems looking at the sun. Tani Rav Yosef. Sunny Shemesh. They hate the sun. So that's the person who has that. Zagdiyin. What does that mean? Zagdiyin means that there are, well, different pshatim, what Zagdiyin means. Machvi Rav Huna, Chan mi didan, Chan mi ditu. Rav Huna showed the Talmidim, what does Zagdiyin mean? He points to one of his own eyes and one of Rabbi Yehuda's eyes. That's a Zagdiyin. Meaning their eyes are different. What does that mean? So Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda has strange eyes. So that's why he says, if you have one normal eye, one strange eye, that's the psul here. Right? Rashi does not say more than that. Tosa says on top, second line, Vol Pirish, but Mahavi Mishunos. Rashi doesn't say what was strange about them. He just says they were Mishuna. So Rabbi Tam quotes that Rav Yehuda, you know, from elsewhere, was very tall, and Rav Huna was very short. And that's what he means. He's pointing to one of his and one of, right, the eyes wouldn't look balanced and proportionate in the on a tall person's body with the short, the small eyes, and vice versa. So that's what was meant here. Ikbar of Yehuda, Mir of Yehuda was upset because he was a midget, he was very short compared to the other one. Yeah, one of his and one of mine. Or according to Rashi, you know, obviously that it was Mishunos. Meisvei, is that really what Zagdiyan is? Meisvei, Shachvina, that psul is Shekvinav Shochvin. Right, the eyebrows are drooping. So that's not in the Torah. So that's for sure, category two. Zagdum is, the Shita adds in, Gvinav Echashav Echalavan, the eyebrows. One black eyebrow, one white eyebrow. So you see, Zagdum has to do with the color of the eyebrows, not with the type of the eyes. So, Tana, Kal, Zuga, Deloshavi, La'adadi, Zagdam, Karile. Anything that's not similar to each other is called Zagdam. It could be in the eyebrows, it could be in the eyes. No matter what it is, that's what it is. So that's why I think I mentioned in the Mishnah that Zagdam, Hazagdan might mean the watery eyes, but that was it's a symbol of soul. That's not what the Gemara here says. Hatsiran Viter Enav Terutos. Tsiran means rounded eyes. Rounded eyes. Vitsir Nayos, that means really rounded eyes. Even more rounded than the previous. Domos, Dolphos, Tardos. All of these are also included. All types of teary eyes. A little teary, a lot, middle teary, and a lot teary. Right, all of them are all in that category of teary eyes. That's included in Tziran. Tana, next. This is, we have Zider, but on the side it says Ziver. Vahalufin Vatamir. Also types of psulim. What are these? Zavir de Mazor Ene. His eye is constantly moving. They can't focus. That's a psul. Lofin de Defishi Zife. He has a lot of eyelashes. Tamir, Shetamu Zifin. They all fell out. All fell out. All the eyelashes fell out. All those are psulim of the eye. So Gemara says, "Vahani gabi mumintani lahu." You're putting these in the daraisa category, gabi mumin, right? Meaning category one or two. Vatanan. But the last line of our Mishnah said, "Shenasha risa ena possible shemibni maris ayin." Right? It's the last line of our Mishnah said it's maris ayin. It's not because of. It's not a category one or two. Lokasha had ishtayer gardume, had the lowest tire gardume, are the roots, were the roots left in when they fell out. If there are no roots, that's a real mum. If they have some roots, that's not a mum, because maybe they could grow back. Next, continuing with the eyes. Einav gadolos kishel egel o katanos kishel avas. Very large cow eyes or small goose size eyes. Gufo gadol meivarvo katan meivarv. If somebody has his body or limbs on his body disproportionate to the rest of his body. His nose is too big or too small. From, we'll get to exactly what the case is in the Mishnah. Let's make a comment. First, let's finish. Hatsomi matsomeya. Those are psulim. Eze utsomeya kosha oznav katanos. His ears are tiny. Hatsomim kosha oznav domas lasvog. His ears are shriveled up like a sponge that you could squeeze. Svaso ha elyona otvas al tachtona vatachtona otvas al elyona reizemum. If one of his lips is too big. Bottom or top one. Vishnashu Shinov possible name Maris Ayin. And Nashu Shinov are possible because of Maris Ayin, as we mentioned yesterday from Rav Moshe, who wanted to keep his teeth, as we will talk about more soon. The nose is an important element in the koch haharacha, the koch of smell. Somebody has small or big. Again, the focus of the Mishnah seems to be the physical deformities. But just to mention one point, and then we'll continue. The koch haharacha is very unique in halacha, in terms of halacha and hashkafa. The Gemara in Brachas has a separate source, second Brachas today, separate source for the limud that you have to make a bracha on a special smell. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Gimel. Minayin shemavarchin al harayach, shene'emar, kol haneshama tahaloka. Kol haneshama, every soul should praise God. Ezeo davar shaneshama nehenis mimenu, vein hagufnane mimenu. What type of sense does the neshama benefit from and not the guf? Havi omer zah harayach. So it's called a benefit that the neshama gets. That's the Gemara in Brachas Mem Gimel Mabes. The Achronim are bothered. That slach right here. Why do we need a separate source? The beginning of Kesem Mevarachim. We already had a source, right? How do you know you make Brachas Hanehenin? You make a source. Lashem Aretz Umaloa, Aretz Lamanei Adam, Kalafei Bracha, Kan Lachar Bracha. So we need a separate source here. So the Tzlach says, you might have thought, because we have a principle of Kol Mariv Areach Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila, there is no sort of Me'ila by just smelling the Ketores. So I might have thought that this is patterned after Me'ila, brachas belongs to Hashem, so therefore there's no need to make a bracha. There's no gezel, there's no Me'ila. Kamash Malan, that is the tzlach right here. But in terms of, there's another source, fascinating, this has come up before, in terms of the koach of smell, once we're talking about different sized noses, and that is the Shvus Yaakov. There's a discussion in the Rishonim about whether one who does not have the koch of smell, could they make Bari Minei Besamim on Motzi Shabbos by Avdallah? Or somebody doesn't have the koch of smell, can they make the bracha? So the Beis Yosef quotes a number of Rishonim. We're not going to go into that Lamaisa. Now I just wanted to read this Shuvah. The Shvus Yaakov in Chela Gimel, Simen Chaf, says, Echad Shu Tutin Dehaino she'en lo chush areach. He can't smell. Ketzed yaseh lini avdalas bebrechas besamim. What should he do? What should he do for besamim? So he quotes the Beis Yosef in this end of Siman Reish Sadek Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that if somebody cannot smell, he should not make the bracha unless he's being motzi others. But the Shvus Yaakov says, I think that he can make the bracha, but not because of the reason of the Shulchan Aruch. This is nowhere in Shas. It's only in an Archas Chayim that the Beis Yosef quotes. And he quotes our Gemara about Menashe Bevarchan al-Reach Kol Neshama Tahalokah. What do you see from that Gemara? That smell is something that goes straight to the Neshama. Right, that's why we have the smell for our Neshama Yaseira that we lost. You think you don't smell, but your Neshama smells. El Shameha Guf Chaser Echem Echushim. V'chein Shamati Meirofe. I also heard from a doctor. Says the back of Reicher in the 1700s. Demish Ein Lochush Areach Bama is a Timtum B'moach. If you can't smell, it's something in the brain that's not letting you smell properly. V'ksiv kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'apo. Im kein, kibon she nishmas haruach shevachotem nehne mimenu yachol levarech. No problem. And then he quotes, afilu, everybody has the power of smell. Just something in the brain that's not working. It's not giving you the sense that you're smelling. Elavadi d'ashas hachikamar. Afilu mishein lo chush areach yivarech. Kibon she neshama nehne mimenu. And that's why he repeats it there. That's why is that separate Gemara there? Because even if you don't think you're getting Hana, you really are getting Hana. V'zeo sh'omar kol neshama tel ha'klok lomar kol daika, kol aneshama. Afilu mi she'in lo chush areach klal. If you look in other Sifrei Refua, right, they don't say this, they're wrong, says the Shvus Yaakov. Kivat she'ikur sifreyem u'michachmas umos ha'olam aristo v'chaverov. Okay, that's the last Chanukah vert of the that we're getting into. We have to connect to Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah. Aristotle, Ein Lismo, right? He was the Rebbe of Alexander the Great. Aristotle, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was the Rebbe of Alexander, right, one of the first Greek rulers who was actually pretty good to the Jews. That's why everybody's whoever's named Alexander in the Jewish people, Bisman Azer, or Sender, it goes back to Alexander the Great. They named them all after him. Ein Lismo Chadavrayim Ladina, right? So even though they mentioned that you can't smell, Ein Lismo Chadavrayim. But anyway, that is the Shvus Yaakov having to do with that Gemara and Brachas on Daf Mem Gimel. So you have the Tzlach there, and you have the Shvus Yaakov. Okay. So everybody's got to have the noses that are proportionate to their bodies. Viter, Amarav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Esar Amos Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos high. Wow, pretty tall. Let's say we assume it's between 1.5 and 2 feet. Right, that's the discussion. 10 Amos high. Shenemar Vayifros Es Ha'ol Al HaMishkan. Because it says that he spread out the cover to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was 10 Amos tall. Me Perso, Moshe Rabbeinu Perso. Viksiv Esar Amos Arach HaKarash. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very tall. He was 10 amos high, and Rav says that he must have been 10 amos high because the Mishkan was 10 amos tall, and therefore he had to be that tall to spread the cover of the Mishkan. So Amar Le Rav Simi Bar Chila Rav, Im Kein, what are you saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall? Asita Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum. You're basically saying he's a Balmum. Ditznan, because our Mishnah says, Gufo Dada Me'evarav Akatan Me'evarav. So what's the exact limud? So some say that it means because he was... What did Rav say? It must have been that he was 10 amos tall because the Mishkan was 10 amos high. Why couldn't he just be a little shorter than the Mishkan and still be able to spread it out with his arms? He must have had very small arms. So you're telling me he's a Balmum? Right? Because he's talking in terms of how tall he was. And
Balmum is disproportionate?
Disproportionate.
Even if he's that.
Oh, so that's the Havamina is that it was disproportionate because we're talking about the Tfachim of the Mishkan compared to Tfachim of Moshe. So the Gemara says, no. Amarle, see me. Rav says, come on, see me. But Amashal Karish Kamar. No, you're mixing and matching. We're talking about the Amos of the Mishkan versus the Amos of Moshe. You can't put them together. Moshe Rabbeinu was perfectly fit. When he says he was Eser Amos Haya, the Havamina, you thought that was talking about his own Amos. Rashi says, but Amashalo? No, we're talking about Amos of the Mishkan, and therefore, you work out the math, it was proportionate. It wasn't a Balmum. What would be the problem with Moshe saying Moshe was a Balmum? What would be so terrible about that? Well, it'd be so terrible. So two days. If you look in the Chassam Sofer, in the Tshuva, in Simin Yud Beis, Chassam Sofer says he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And the Rosh Sanhedrin also requires not that mumin. That was the Rav Moshe from yesterday, right? He says like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav, you also got to be perfect to be in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin nifsulu b'chomine mumin bein apostlim b'kohanim bein apostlim b'leviim. V'kivish Moshe Rabbeinu all of Hashalom haya Rosh Sanhedrin b'vadelo haya lo mum b'kolo. V'yavagav the haya arel svatayim. Ah, he had a lisp. Kfar kasav she'ein ze mum ebreisha al yidei neis naselo. That came through a nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka gave it to that to him by moving him. Veleka mashchasam bahem mumbam. That's not a problem. Hashem gave him this. So you could say, well, Hashem gave everybody their mumin. But yeah, this was through a nes. This was Dafka through a nes. He didn't want him to take the crown. So Dafka that nes. Now, people are going to hear Moshe with a list. They're going to say, oh, Moshe! Right, Hashem did the nes for you in Mitzrayim. That's why it wasn't in, what's it called, the mum. So number one, Rosh Sanhedrin. The Briskerov here says not only that, but it's also, he was the Kohen Gadol. He had to like, during the Miluim, he acted like the Kohen Gadol. Which is itself a chakira. Did Moshe Rabbeinu act like the Kohen Gadol? Was he really at the status of the Kohen Gadol or not during the Miluim? We mentioned in the past, right, did he wear what did he wear? The Gemara asks in Tainus and Avodah Zarah, what did he wear? Which did he wear the big day Kohen Gadol? Anyways, so Moshe Rabbeinu. Weiter. Chot mo gadol v'chulu. The nose is big. Tana ke'etzva ketana. How big? It's bigger than everybody else's nose by the size of a finger. Hatzimim v'atzimeya tana afatzimeach. Tzimeach also is included. What's tzimeach? Lo aviyadir abanam. My tzimeach. They didn't know what tzimeach was. Shamul ahutaya. They heard an Arab merchant, Tavikamar, who was saying, Man debay tzimeach. Who wants to buy tzimeach? V'ishtakach. And they looked what he was selling. And they found Gadia Chaziza. A goat with drooping ears. So they said, oh, that's what Simeach must be, droopy ears. Amar of Chizda, Eiz she'en lo karnayim, v'rachel she'ish lo karnayim, a goat without a hornless goat, or a rachel, a sheep, a lamb with horns. Because it's the opposite of what they're supposed to have. K'sheirim l'gabim izbeach. That's not a mum. Not a mum, even though the genders got mixed up here. Tani nami hachi. Yesh dvarim shein kimumin ve'en a mumin. Some things look like a mum, but they're not. V'shochtan alayim b'mikdash. You can shech them in the mikdash. It's not even a little problem. Avolob Medina, but they're not, and they're not a mum in the Medina to shechta. I mean, it's not a psul hamakdashim. The Elohein, eish in lo karnayim, v'rachash eish lo karnayim. Those two included. Vahatzimeach, vahatzimim, vatzomeya. As we explained, the drooping ears, the small ears, the shriveled ears. Period. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Ameimar, Natzlu Karnusan Vizichrusan Imahen Psula. If you take out off the horns of an animal and Zichrusan, that means there is the inner. You ever go? We went to the shofar factory before Rosh Hashanah. Inside the shofar, it's connected. There's a piece of bone that's inside that the shofar sits on. So let's say you remove both the shofar and that Zichrus, right? Imahen Psula. That's Psula. If it was removed. Ve'ein poden alehen. But it's not a mum gomor that you can be podeh from. You podeh the carbon with, because that's how you have to wait for it until it gets another mum. Nitzlu tlafayim v'zechrus animon. Let's say you took the hoofs off an animal with also the bony part of the foot underneath that the hoof sits on. Psulin v'niften alehen. That's a real mum that you can be podeh on if it's missing all the whole bone of the foot. Meisve, is that really true? Kasha on Rav Chizda, Nutzlu, Karnayim, Vitzlafayim, Bezachrinzim on Psulim, and Iftanolayim. They're both real Psulim. So the Kasha is on the Karen one. So Lo Kasha, Hadis, Akir, Isakure, Hada, Igom, Agume. Like we said before, one is where it's totally uprooted, that's a mum. One is where it's just cut off, but a little, the bottom is left. That is mum. Udi, Igom, Agume, Pasol. Say what? But Igam Agume, it's still going to be pasul, not a full pasul, but it's going to be partially pasul. But for Aminu, learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Para. Para shakarnei v'tzlafei shchorim. If a paraduma has black hooves or horns, so that would pasul. So, but you're allowed to cut them off and save the paraduma. Yagud, you can cut it off. So you see, it's not even a pasul. If it was even a pasul lachafilo, you wouldn't be able to use it back for paraduma. So should it be anything wrong with it? So the Gemara said, no. Tirgama ze'iri me'ilavi zachrus. The case that was kosher there is when it was up above. You cut off up above and you really left a solid piece that was not black. That's where it's kosher. But if you had to cut all the way down, so that could be a psul lechatchila. The Menachas Chinuch says in Shin Sadek Zayin Tes that bidi eved, if you didn't cut it off by the paradum and it still had the black horns, it would be okay. You should cut it off. Why? Ein bila ma'akeves, right? The din of Reb Zeira, that as long as you have the potential for something, then it's not ma'akev. That principle is used in various contexts. Some is where you require a ma'isa. Some is in term, sometimes it's used as defining a chefsa, right? So here it's used as defining a chefsa, right? It's still a kosher para aduma, even though you didn't cut it off. That is the mincha sonach. As long as you can't cut it off, biyotcha, even if you did it, it is okay. Where else do you see this? The Ran. The Ran discusses this in Meseches Sukkah on page, on Daf Yudam and Beis and the Daf Yarif. Talks about if by the lulav, if nifridu alav, right, if you have the lulav, it sticks out, lakan or lakan. Avagav dechse kafus, lulamencha shetehe kafus, it has to be kafus, all tied together. Kivan she roilich moso, eik vizamakevesmo. If it's so hard that you can't put it together, that was a psul in the Mishnah. Sidney Hara Barzel, but as, if they're separated, if you can't put it together, Enkvi de Makevesbo, Ukid de Reb Zera. Like Reb Zera says, you have it over here by the Minchas Chinuch in Shin Tzadik Zion about cutting off the horns, the black horns of the Paraduma. You have it here by the Ran in Lulav HaGazel, and you also have it one more. This is a, just a totally different usage that the Ritva brings in. Sukkah Lamed Ches. Sukkah Lamed Ches Bachogos Rashi Tosus. What's it doing there? You can look at the Gemara there. Barashi there says, what happens if you're in the middle of Shmona Esra and the Chaza gets up to Kedusha? What are you supposed to do? Satosis there says, keep going. What do you mean? What are you supposed to do? Keep going. You're in the middle of Shmona Esra. Nothing to do. Rashi says, no. You stop and you listen. What do you mean stop and you listen? What? Shomei Ka'onis, as if you said it. Tosa says, if it's as if you said it, that's a hefsek in your Shmona Esra. So you know, you're not supposed to stop. Rashi says, no, you can have your cake and eat it too. You could stop and have Shomei Ka'one work as if you said Kedusha, but not as if you were mafsik during Shmona Esrei. That's what we hold. And that's the, right, it's used by the Achronim in terms of the Chakir of Shomei Ka'one. Is it mamish as if you said it or not? That's Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. The Ritva there in Sukkah Lamed Ches.
Even in the middle of a bracha.
Even in the middle of a bracha, yes. The Ritva there has, holds like Tosfos. Don't stop, but for a different reason. Shomea Ka'one, says the Ritva, only works by a case where you'd be able to say it if you wanted to. Kalaroi labila ain bila makeves. So you don't have to say it. If I could say it now and I don't, then I just listen. That Shomea Ka'one works. By Kiddush, Friday night, I could say it, but I don't. I listen to you. Shomea Ka'one. But if you can't say it yourself because you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, so that's ain roi labila. Right? So that's the Ritva. Holds like Tosfos, but for a different reason because of the din of Reb Zeira. That the Ritva in Sukkah, Daf, Lamed Ches. Okay, three kalaroi labilas that we have right here. Okay, weiter. Next, as the Mishnah, Dadin Shofin Kishalisha, if a man has very large breasts like a woman, and therefore that's a psul, Kishalisha, Kresotsava, or if he has a very large stomach, right, the Rambam here, the Pirish Mishnah says, doesn't just mean a large fat Kohen. It means very large. Ma'od, the Rambam says. Tibura Yotze! You heard it here. Daf Yomi Bechoris Mem Dalid. If somebody has a belly button outie, that is a psul. Tibur Yotze, right? Most have their tibur inside, but Yotze is a psul of the Kohanim. Nichbe, we'll get to a few psulim that were going to be unusual. We're going to talk about lefties in the coming days. Nichbe, well, to see if that's a psul. Nichbe afilu achas liyamim. Nichbe, if somebody is prone to have seizures, even not always, then that's a psul, even when they're not having a seizure. Even when they're not having one. Ruach katzra ba'alav, Rashi says, ruach shade. A demonic spirit comes on a person. Obviously, the Rambam's not going to say that. So what's this according to the Rambam? He gets depressed. He gets very sad. Rambam seems to put it in that regard. Ha-ma'ushban. Ma'ushban means, Rashi, beitzav gedolim. Right? In his part of his male aver is large, but baal gever, that means his actual aver is large, mu'ushban, or the beitzim, are again, large, out of proportion. Okay, the next 15 lines, we're going to talk about hashtana, urination in public, right? Whether it is, we're going to talk about it related to our Mishnah, we're going to get to, but it's going to talk about the Isra of Baal Tashaksu and others. Amar Rebbe Yaba, Breder B'chiyah Bar Abba. Mashtidim mayim b'fnei rabim, vein shosim mayim b'fnei rabim. Very ironic what we would lamaisa think and do today. We're not posculating based on this Gemara, but the Gemara says, Hashtana in public is not so bad, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous if somebody holds in their Hashtana, so that is dangerous. Drinking water in public? No way. Why, that's for a Talmud Chacham, for a, you're drinking in the middle of everybody, that shouldn't be done. So the Mishnah, the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Deos and Parakeh. We'll read it if we have time, but he discusses that, you know, we shouldn't be in the shuk eating and drinking. We should always be kavua in a certain set spot. The Achronim, though, notes that, Baal Teshakso, according to Rov Rishonim, is an Issa Darabanan, not an Issa Daraisa. Right, the Ritva quotes a Deya that's Daraisa in Makkos, where this comes up in Daf Tezayin in Makkos, but Rov holds it is Darabanan. That's what the Chumash Hadeshin says in Simen Tezayin, Mishum Kavod Abrios, one is allowed to violate Baal Teshakso. And he quotes others that different rise to this. He talks about holding in one's hashtana, holding in one's hafacha, all these cases. But Shmuel Zedeshin says clearly that one is allowed to violate Baal Teshakso. So if one is in a place where they have to hold it in, and in our day and age where it is considered something disgusting in to do in public, so then one should not. One is allowed to hold it in until one gets to a spot where one would be able to relieve themselves. Reb Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. I think I mentioned this once before in Yaredeya, Chela Gimel Simen Mem Zayin. Reb Moshe has a tshuva, Os Hey. Is one allowed to use a Beis Akisei, a urinal, that many times urinals have walls in between? But what if one doesn't? Is it appropriate to use one of those? So Rav Moshe says, Me'ikar hadin it's mutter. Obviously, to try to be in a tsanua way, Me'ikar hadin it's mutter, he was asked, because of this Gemara, Becharis Memdal. You see that it's to do it in, to be mashed in public, I guess in a somewhat covered spot is okay. It's not a lack of tzniyas because of the issue. But Rav Moshe says, you know, Bismana says it's definitely better, let's say if there's a closed area where the makam for gedolim and the makam for ketanim, Rav Moshe says lechanchila is better to wait, but he says, but you don't have to wait. He says lechanchila is best to make all the places of a bathroom with walls in between. But mikol makam samcha mashal otiknu inyan tsnias b'mei chazal v'chol adara shloi efshalahem. Mikol makam min arroi le'elekan latolas mayim lebeis akisei shenase legdolim. Sheika mechitzos, kivan shu davar kal. Avak shen is damein sheleka beis akisei b'mechitzos, panui. Eilo lechakot at sheyase eizem beis akisei panui. You don't have to wait for somebody to get out if you don't want to. Mishum chashash sakana. No problem, you can use the regular one. Umi ukshebode bitchila tov lasas mechitzos gam ala makomo shenasu latolas mayim. Right, Rav Moshe writes that in a tshuva to his 1973 Simen Mem Zayin. Okay, Viter says the Gemara. V'tani nami halchi. Also, the Brisa says mashtina mayim b'fnei rabim v'yishos mayim b'fnei rabim. Hashtana was mutter in public. Again, remember in those days there weren't bathrooms all over the place, and it was very hard to get to. So therefore, there was different behavior that was acceptable. So one has to always know based on societal norms. Umaisa be'echad shebigash l'shemayim v'lo hishtin. It was a story that one wanted to be mashed in Mayim and he didn't, but it's a crazy sub and he had a serious stomach ailment that came, his stomach blew up because he didn't go when he had to go. Shmuel itzrich lei b'shav to the rigla. Shmuel once had to go to the bathroom while he was giving shir on the Shabbos of the regel. We know when they had the Archei Kala. Nagdu le glima, so they held up a curtain for him and they created a mechitza so he could go to the bathroom. As lekavi di avua. So the next time he came home to avua de Shmuel, Amar le, avua de Shmuel says to him, Etin lecha dal me azuze. I'll give you 400 zuz. Vizila hader uvda. Go back. Go back and like, you were able to set up this whole mechitza and nobody sees you. You could do that because you were the God of Adar, and they did it for you quickly. But somebody else, what he's going to try, he's going to think from your behavior that, oh, you're not allowed to go if it's in Barabim, and anybody sees. And so it's going to be dangerous to him. So go back. He kind of said it as like, there, go back. I'll give you money to go back. Fine. My Barabashi, Itzrich, Aguda Gamla. One time, he needed to go to the bathroom somewhere near a bridge. Ashen, so he went to the bathroom. Amrule Chamadik Asya. So they said to him as a joke, your mother-in-law is coming. As if to say that, you know, how can you do this? Amar le lehu ba'odna, literally in her ear. What does that mean? So Rashi seems to take it literally, very difficult to understand. Rashi says, afilo b'toch azna yitim atamayim, it's dangerous. Other Achronim say just means in the ear, meaning even if she could hear me, be ear, in the ear, meaning it's still mutter, if it's dangerous, it could be it would be allowed. The Marsha says the ear is on the side of the body, so it means minatsad. Either way, again, it's only talking about a case where it would be dangerous. If somebody nowadays, as we know, it's not dangerous to hold in one's hashtana for a little bit, so one wouldn't be allowed to do this. chas v'shalom, and violate the isser of kavod abrius. V'tevek le'mishem alka. So maybe the guy whose stomach blew up was because he swallowed a leech. How do you know it was because he held in his ashtana? Bishoseis. No, it's bishoseis because he had meiraglayim dripping down. So therefore, we know it was from that. Tana Rabbanan, Shnei Nekavim Yesh Baba Adam. There were two tracks, two holes in a man, Echad Mosi Shesen Vechad Mosi Shech Vazera, one that Shesen goes out, one that urine goes out, and one that Shech Vazera goes out. Ve'ein Bein Zela Ze Elaka Klipas Hashum. And there's a very little, like the peel of a piece of garlic in between them. B'shash Adam Nitzrach Im Nikvu Ze L'toch Ze Nimsa Akar. And if one goes into the other one, a person will become sterile. So this is one of those Gemaras that all the Achronim, the Chazonish, is quoted by all the Achronim as saying this is not the physical anatomy that we know of. It's the same source for the Hashtana and for the Zera. It comes out of the same tube in the Eivor HaZachar. So the Chazonish himself says Nishtanu Ativim. We don't really say that unless you have to explain that it's further deeper down in the body. So then he says, how did the Chazal know about it? Right, they didn't do any, they didn't have regular anatomy. But either way, if you look at the Nishmas Avram in Chelek Evan Ezer, right, this is what we always quote, that he talks about it here. He quotes the Gemara. The two Gemaras are Bukharas and Nida, the two places that they seem to talk about anatomy that seems to be unlike what we have. That's the Chazon Nishes, Ishtanu Ativim. That's what basically you have to say. Some Achronim don't want to say that, just reinterpret it, but this one is a tough one. Amarish Lakish, Maidachsev lo yevacha akar v'akara uvivhemtecha. What does it mean you won't have anyone who is barren and in your animals? What's that extra word? When are you not going to be barren? Sometimes when you act like an animal, meaning when you have to go to the bathroom in public and you don't hold it in, that will make sure that you're not barren. Amr Rabbi Ben Levi, he has a different drasha. You won't be akar, you won't be barren from talmidim. If you do this, your tefillah won't be barren in front of Hashem. Meaning, if you're davening for children, you'll have children if you follow this behavior. Same kind of thing. They have to sometimes. So the Gemara is even calling it kebehema, even though the Gemara is saying it's true. But if you already get a note, you have a feeling that there is something wrong with this. Theoretically, if you have another choice, Amar of Papa Lo Yashin Adam Mu Ma'ayim Lo Klicheres V'Lo Al Adam Makam Kasha. You should not. Person shouldn't be mashin on klicheres or on makam kasha. Why? Because Rashi says because they throw all the contents of a klicheres into the river or on a makam kasha, a hard place where it's going to flow down. They're talking about in Bavel. Why? Because to Amarava Hani Medure De Bavel, all the slopes in Bavel Mahaji Ma'ilein Itim end up flowing down into Eretz Yisrael, and are going to end up in Ein Itim, the mikvah near the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't want any of the Hashtana going there. It's therefore only right, Bimashin in other areas in Bavel where it can get absorbed into the ground directly there. Amar Abaya, Ha itzalo, take him ahead, ya ba'ad pi yanuka. A woman should not be mashtina in front of a child. Agisa less lanba, less sideways, right? Even if she's covered up, because it's not sanua. Tanya, shogali alomer, amurachoser, maybe lide adam lide hadrokan, amurachoser, that means if somebody has to be osik dolim, right? Not just katanim. So then, if they hold it in, that will lead to sickness. Silanachoser, maybe adam lide yirakon. Silanachoser means hashtana. If somebody has to urinate and they hold it in too long, that'll lead to jaundice. They'll become yellow, literally. Amar Rabba Bar Barhuna, Amar Rav Katina, Amar Eish Lakish, Dam Rabba, Shchin Rabba. If somebody has too much blood and they don't bloodlet when they have to, which again was a medicinal behavior in the days of the Gemara, Shchin Rabba will lead to a lot of boils. Shechva Zera Rabba, Tsaras Rabba. Soa Rabba, Hadrokan Rabba, Meraglayim Rabin, Yerokin Rabba. As the last two was what we just said. Finally finishing up, Ruach Katzris Ba'alav. Ma'iniya, what is Ruach Katzris? Tana, Ruach Ben Nephalim Ba'alav. A demon, that's the Ben Nephalim, called the son of a Nephel. Again, the Rambam says that means depressed. Tama Urshman Ubal Gever, Tana, Meshuban Bebeitzim, Ubal Gever Begid. Right, talking about the male anatomy, it's too large, too proportionate. Tana, Meshuban Ze Hakyan, Hagarvatan Ze Balkik. Again, different types of these movement. Kiyan bebeitzim, garvata begid. Same thing. Yad kama. What does it mean? Too large, meaning disproportionate. Mach Rabbi Yehuda ad rechuva. If it goes down all the way until the knee, so that's disproportionate, and therefore that is a mum. That's a sickness. It's a deformity. Tanya, Blazim ben Yaakov Omer, ad rechuva pasol, lamala min rechuva kasher, until the knee is pasol, but above is kosher. Yigat Amri, or others say, ad rechuva kasher, lamadim ha rechuva pasol. Just below the knee is pasol, but up to the knee is kosher. So either way, that is different types of psulim. Okay, we'll have to stop here with the Mishnah. B'lash Hashem, we will continue, B'lash Hashem, in the coming days. Parsha Shir tonight. Parsha Shir, 8:45.